Oh, hello, everyone. Before we get started with today's episode, I have a special announcement. We are so close to our 350th episode, and in order to celebrate that, we're doing a live episode. That's right. We're doing a live episode recording on Monday, June 10th at 7 p.m. at the Triad Theater here in New York City. Now, if you can't make it out, don't fret. There is a live stream option for you all. We will be discussing the 2007 movie Across the Universe. So again, if you want to come out and celebrate 350 episodes with myself and a panel of friends, we will be at the Triad Theater on Monday, June 10th at 7 p.m. In-person tickets are $15 with a two-drink minimum, and the live stream has a tiered system where there is a $15 and a $20 ticket. For more information or to buy tickets, check out the link in all my socials at ButASongPod. And now, on with today's episode.
Life's but a song, so you can sing along with a special guest or two.
Or two.
You like to sing and dance, and this podcast, by chance, explores musicals for you.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Life's But a Song, a podcast that likes to live in the land of musicals. I'm your host, John, and with me today is my Disney correspondent. I guess that's what we're going with. It's Kendra Beltran, everyone. Woo!
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me. I feel like this is like my thing. This or just weird thing. Anything 90s.
Yes. Yes. And we're chipping away at the Renaissance. Not Beyonce's, Disney. Disney did it first.
Yes, wouldn't be as qualified for a Beyonce Renaissance. But
no, and we're here today to talk about the 1991 classic. I know, we shouldn't be saying that because it's only like 30-something years old, but it's classic at this point. It's past iconic, now to classic. Beauty and the Beast. Oh, tale as old as time. The screenplay is by Linda Wolverton, music by Alan Menken, lyrics by Howard Ashman, directed by Gary Truesdale and Kirk Wise, and according to IMDb, a prince cursed to spend his days as a hideous monster sets out to regain his humanity by earning a young woman's love. Sorry, I can read. I should wear my glasses, probably. So, we've all seen this movie at this point, mm-hmm. I feel like. This is the third Renaissance movie in the Disney canon. And it is also the first movie that Disney turned into a stage version.
Oh.
Yeah. Huh.
After the Ron Perlman one in the 80s, they were like, we have to make this a Disney movie. Dur, dur, dur,
dur. Well, you mean the Beauty and the Beast?
Yeah, the Ron, that one.
Well, I saw on the Wikipedia that they were more inspired by the 1946 French film of this. And you kind of look at it. I didn't watch it. I saw pictures of it, though. And you're like, I can see what you borrowed or were inspired by, but
yeah,
oh god, this movie is so good,
so beautiful. I did have some watching it now. I will say, like, as an adult, the plot is a little
yes,
but like musically, visually, it's stunning. Like, I can't fault it for any of those, but story-wise,
I mean, yes, I was actively fighting my logic side of my brain, be like, shut up, just enjoy it. Just look at her dress. It's the gold dress moment.
Well, right at the beginning, somebody curses a child for not letting a stranger in the house. He was just being responsible. Well, it didn't matter. I was like, girl.
Well, my question is, do they age? Because Chip is still a child when he transforms into a human. So, like, how old are people? Also, thinking about it, there's a moment that, like, the first time Chip goes into the cupboard, and Mrs. Potts is like, "Join your brothers and sisters," and you're like, "Mrs. Potts,
No,
how many kids do you have?"
and were these all kids that lived in the castle, or is this a like forgotten kingdom that she cursed that lived in, like what is going on here?
Yeah, because
But you
there's
know,
a lot,
a people
like the whole Be Our Guest section, you're like, how are you
300
all servants?
and for like one person, just him, like
Yeah.
where was his family? Maybe they were other dishes and they got broken. Tragic backstory, like we
Well,
don't know.
and then there are non-magical objects. So you're just
The
like,
toilet.
I who is what? What is going on? 'Cause when we go into his room, you see that he destroyed his wardrobe and things like that. So you're like, either you murdered people or but we're yeah, shouldn't think about that. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, logic aside, great movie. Great
Oh
movie.
God, so good. It spawned so many things. I like literally, and pun intended, Little Mermaid walked so this movie can run. I was reading as well that they were originally going to make this a non-musical movie, because between because the first Disney Renaissance movie is The Little Mermaid, and then there's Rescuers Down Under, which I haven't seen that one in a while, but I don't think that is a musical.
No.
So they were trying to do like a little more,
They're like,
and then Disney was some exec at Disney was like, "No, musical, Little Mermaid, let's go." So they got the team back together to do this epic.
Rescuers Down Under is like that one's good too. Another logic one, but that one has some good scenes as well. I think their animation, they just had the right team at the right time. Didn't even have to have music, but yeah, going back to the musicals was a better choice for Beauty and the Beast. I couldn't imagine this without the music.
Right, and you look at the rest of the Renaissance period, it's all musicals. And I've
Really.
done majority of them already. Also, looking at their posters, they all have the same feel to them, except for Hercules. But it's usually like silhouette or ambiguous in a way. Like even Pocahontas, there's more detail, but there's still like a light source behind her, and then Hercules is just like, bam, color, Herc is in front. Rah!
They're like stepping into the post Renaissance with Hercules. They're like trying out the waters. Like, can we do something a little less
Let's try something a little
wow?
different. Yeah. Have you seen the stage version though?
No, I've never seen any of the like Disney brought to Broadway. I've only seen like two musicals.
We gotta fix that. A side note, we gotta fix that. But I was reading that, so I remember seeing it. I think I've either seen it once or twice. I know I went with like a school field trip, because I grew up on Long Island, so like
Okay.
going into the city is
Easy.
easier for me, and seeing a Broadway show is easier for me than like not growing up here and making a whole big to-do about coming to New York and everything. So the Broadway musical premiered on April 18th, 1994. It closed on July 29th, 2007. So it ran for a healthy long time. And Tim Rice was brought in to write additional lyrics because, unfortunately, Howard Ashman passed away a few months before the movie was released. And yeah, it's really sad when you see it, because on like all the Wikipedia pages, they're like, Howard Ashman died of AIDS related complications. And yeah, remember that?
Like, but at least, you know, he gave the world one last great thing. I mean, you get to live on in this. Good
This
job.
yeah, and this music, Every millennial knows this music.
Mm-hmm.
Every millennial and older knows this music by heart. Maybe some Gen Zers,
Maybe. They're
maybe.
kind of like a, we'll give them Frozen. Frozen is theirs. They can have it.
They can have that. Yes, this is so for millennials, Beauty and the Beast is what Frozen is to Gen Zers.
Yeah.
There we go. We got there. But I don't know, where do you want to start talking about this? There's so much we could talk about.
I guess just go in the order of the songs as they appear. Because this is really song heavy. I was like, they're singing every few minutes. I'm like, there's really no dialogue. It's like, we are getting to it. I
Yeah,
was like, good.
and like it is kind of an operetta when you think about it that way, 'cause there's a lot of like you said, it's song heavy, and there's like a few dialogue scenes. Like there's the whole prologue that we have that you're like, okay, we need the backstory. Which I know we're gonna ignore the live action one, but the one good thing the live action one did was justify how even Belle's village was like part of the curse, part of the spell. Because did you even see it? Did you see
I fell asleep until
it?
they got violent at the end. So I don't remember much, except I woke up when they were gonna go like try to beat up Beast, the angry mob.
Part of me believes that they retcon that, because a lot of people, I know watching this myself, I'm like, how do people not know about Adam, Prince Adam? Like, or this cat, like they pretend they don't know about it. And I believe they just added a line being like, the town was also part of the curse. Huzzah, that people would forget about him. The
Yeah, we forgot we were a whole monarchy. Like, what? There's
end.
no castle. And like the castle had to be pretty close because the angry mob wasn't going off for days. It was like, oh, it's over there. There he is. So it's like,
Plus, again, logic. How did the townspeople, when we get into the mob song, know where to find the castle?
Did they? No, they don't take the dad. Or do they take dad?
They don't take the dad. The dad and Belle are in the cellar.
It must be magic because also logic. Belle is there, or her dad's there, but the horse takes off before dad gets to the castle. But somehow the horse is able to take Belle to the castle.
Magic. Yeah.
Magic. It's all
Maybe
magical wood.
the horse is not under the spell, but everyone else is.
He's like, no, I remember there was a whole ass like kingdom, guys. Yay.
So we open up with the song Belle, which kind of, well, no, it is her I Want song, kind of like the part of your world. But with Belle, I feel like she just wants to like experience life. You know, it's like I need to get out of this town. Like similar to Ariel, where they both are
It's
like, I gotta
her.
go.
It's her very. I would compare it to. I think like a lot of millennials went to emo and pop punk. It's very pop punk in that, like, screw my hometown. I'm better than this. I need to get out of here. Very like pop punk coded. Good Charlotte, if you will. Belle definitely went to Warped Tour in a later life. She for sure did. But yeah, I think that's probably why I loved it. This is the first movie I remember seeing in theaters, and I came from a small town, and I was definitely like nerdy, so this character was very much up my alley as well. I was like always reading as a kid, not now. Now I'm nothing like this woman. But as a kid, I totally got that, and right away from the song, you knew. And they're like thinking she's weird just because she likes to read. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, you also have to think about early 1700s
Yeah.
Europe, where women were not
Just.
educated by any means. So the fact that she could read, I'm surprised they didn't call her a witch and burn her or something.
And she was kind of like old. She didn't have children, wasn't like be wedded to
Yeah,
anyone
how
yet.
old is
So
she supposed to be?
I think she's like 16 or 17.
Of course, they always are.
Yes.
They always are, except for Snow White, who's 14.
Oh my God, Snow White. Snow White is a whole other beast. But yeah, she's about 16, 17. So she's halfway done with her life at this point, if we're going by that century. And she's got nothing going for her but books. So yeah, she is the weirdo. But you're like, yeah, Disney teaches us very early on to cheer on the different.
Right, because even with her dad as being a kooky inventor that is supposed to be going to this fair,
The World's Fair,
the inventor's fair or whatever it is, with his axe, like
wood
wood
chopping,
chopping machine thing. Great, I love it.
gremlins, that
But I
dad.
but also in Belle, it's a smart opening number because not only do you get her wants and everything, but you are introduced to the cast. Majority of the cast, the human cast, I should say, because you get LeFou and Gaston there, and you can clearly see that LeFou is in love with Gaston. They did not hide that in this.
I didn't get that as a kid. I just thought he is his like ride or die best friend. But as an adult, like you definitely see like the want in him too.
Like their interactions in the musical numbers, you're like, okay, so Gaston, like when he does his song, Gaston, you're like, okay, so maybe you're gay as well, Gaston? Like, are we villainizing gays as well? They do that later in the Renaissance, and actually prior with Ursula being a drag queen. But it's like, okay, maybe you're gay.
Did you feel any sort of like representation? Is Gaston and LeFou maybe like, are they gay icons in the LGBTQ community? Have they become that? Because Ursula was right off the bat, like that, like true, every one knew that.
I could potentially see Gaston being like an early crush because he's so buff and manly and he has hair everywhere, so hot. But
Well, we didn't
yeah,
have that.
but then like the fact that he's so toxic, you're like, okay, that I just shut up. You're pretty, just shut up.
I mean, Disney has always delivered those, like, I guess, bad ideals for men. Like, we always, I don't think we ever got like a perfect guy crush, because even Aladdin, he's
He's a
thieving, he's
thief.
lying. I mean, Prince Eric was fine, but he's kind of a nepo baby.
He's
So
also just there.
yeah, like he in the cartoon animated, yeah, he's just
Yeah.
hot.
Lion King has no people in it. Pocahontas, hello. Hunchback,
Oh,
I mean,
Scar though gets a lot of fandom.
who does?
Scar, like a lot of people are like,
Oh.
if you like go like sexual like awakening crushes, Scar is up there. Beast, I've had someone come through and talk about Beast on my show. So as Beast, not Adam, because we all know no good at the end.
Okay, I will never not be slightly terrified by the shadows at the end when his face is revealed in moonlight during that storm, and there's a lot of shadow happening, and I'm like, this is not a pretty shot of you. We need you, move the camera, add more light. Your animators, do something.
Yeah, make him better. Like, oh, like you just did Prince Eric. You could just like paste, copy pasted another hot guy.
I mean,
But
when at the end when they're dancing and everything, he looks fine. It's just though that initial, this is
when he's
what we've
like,
been waiting for.
yeah, the reveal is like, oh, jump
So
scare.
would you consider yourself knowledgeable in like the Disney princess fandom, the timeline, the history and everything?
I'd say I have an associate's, but not a bachelor's or a master's.
Okay, so there is a joke that like the Disney princesses have an animal sidekick. But in this one, I wasn't sure if it's Pierre, the horse? Or Philippe, sorry, Philippe the horse, or is does she have an animal sidekick? I don't think so, really.
I don't know because their sidekick is usually with them. I mean, he does stay with her at the like Beast lets him like chill at the thing, but he's not kind of helping her along the way like Emiko and Pocahontas. That's what I think of as like best friend or Sebastian, like helping guide the way a little more in the action. I would say probably like all the things in the house, all the appliances are her sidekicks more
Like
so.
Lumiere and Cogsworth and Mrs. Potts are the animal sidekicks in
Yeah.
this instance, but they're not animals.
Yeah.
So okay, let's talk about Be Our Guest. We're bouncing around here, but
Vinegar.
there's so much. We both have however many year 91 I don't know 30 something years worth of experience with this to talk about. But Be Our Guest, literally, I just wrote down fuck afterwards because it's so good.
It's the number. I think every Disney, well, I think there's a better moment, but as for even, I don't know, it's a toss up between this and another one, but this is just visually stunning. This is like,
Stunning.
I think they wouldn't have done I Just Can't Wait to Be King if they hadn't executed this so well with like all the elaborate like dancing and just all the pieces they had to put together. So wild. It's kind of like Under the Sea, take it up like steroids.
You know what? I'm realizing with our conversation that the Renaissance period is them. They came out with Little Mermaid, and then they're like, this is a success. How do we one up it? And they just keeping one-upping themselves, although some of them at the time didn't do great. Like the later part of the Renaissance, they are still fantastic movies, though. Like I love Hunchback of Notre Dame,
Oh,
and people didn't like that initially.
I saw it four times in theaters as a child. I was like,
But I'm talking like box offices, not like mass, like everyone's opinion of
it
it,
was
but like
darker.
it was darker, it was more for the older. But this one, I feel like they're still experimenting with things because, like, in Be Our Guest and Beauty and the Beast, they created that sort of CGI technology with the with like I'm thinking of in Beauty and the Beast, the shot of the
Yeah.
sweeping down and everything that is so computer animated, but it was not really done before in Disney, or
And
like this is when they
it aged
perfected it.
well. Yeah, and it wasn't like where you watch. I think like the first Toy Story compared to now, you're like, well,
Right.
it was groundbreaking. But this one I think aged beautifully. I think Be Our Guest is just it's just such a good scene. All the it's the moment. It's where you're like, okay, this is the movie I signed up to see. Okay.
With moments like this, I always wonder if the songwriters like know how big it's going to be. Like not in the movie itself, but like in the
Oh, in
pop
pop
culture.
culture.
You know,
I
like
don't know.
Be
Oh,
Our
you
Guest
have
is
to.
explosive.
Yeah, you think like, oh, like which song's gonna be the one that kind of lives on? But up until the Renaissance, I don't think Disney had those big pop culture moments. They had resonance, but I think this was when they started to be like, more than children know these things.
Yes.
So I think maybe after Little Mermaid and this, I mean, Angela Lansbury got a
Oh my
queen on
God.
the throne. And Lumiere, I mean, you just had such a good cat voice cast too. So I think they probably knew
They
that it was going to
probably
be bigger, but they put so much into it.
but what's and watching this movie before this recording, because I've seen this numerous times, you've seen it numerous times. The mob song, I understood it differently than I usually did because I feel like this time to me it was Gaston quickly thinking on his feet because his want is to m marry Belle because he gets what he wants always. And she's resisting him. So now he's a little more intrigued by this one because she's not submitting like the Bimbettes would. So you if you watch when you watch it, you're he and he's telling these stories about the beast. It's literally like him thinking on his feet to be like, you're not gonna win, Belle. So just be mine. The end. We're going to kill him.
Yeah, this one, it's always been a like it's just he's not a villain whose songs get me, like a Ursula or a Scar. I just kind of even as a kid was like maybe because he's drawn so out there too. It's like a visual thing for me in the song. So the mob song, I'm like, okay, Gaston. Roll my eyes like just lying to lie over here, men.
Yes. It also is interesting because I was told once, or I read once online long ago, and I know I've said it before on the podcast, that in the Disney universe, the word evil is an acronym for every villain in lime. So when you go back and you watch a lot of movies, there's a lot of lime green going on. But this is the only time that I think the only time you see lime on Gaston is when he has the mirror, but that's at the end of the movie. So it's very much like, oh, I guess Gaston is like the one outlier, you know, because like with Cruella de Vil, it's her smoke, as well as Ursula, with Scar's it's eyes. With Lady Tremaine, I believe it's her brooch. So you have Lime represented. I mean, Maleficent, hello. Need I say more? But this is the only time that I think that acronym does not work for him. Work in our favor. It's very interesting.
Disney was like, they forgot. They got to the end and were like, we didn't put any lime. Oh, go back. It's too late. It's too late.
We'll make the lightning bolt kind of look like lime. Yeah. Oh, we did it.
Heavy breathing.
And so the one song that we did skip over is the one that I kind of always skip over, and that is Something There.
It's like it's cute.
It's
It's
cute.
very
She's cute.
cute. Yeah, she's
She's
cute,
cute.
but she's not giving. She's that little add-on. I'm trying to think of like a pop song that like on an album where it's like, oh, I'm trying to think of like Britney Spears' first album or second album, actually. It's my favorite one. Oops. Where it's like, oh, I think on her first album, probably that horrible like Jamaican song where you're like, girl.
Yeah, but at least with this one,
You're like, it's cute.
I would play it. It would still, I maybe I'd skip it every once in a while, but then you know, you're like, oh, I'm just doing the dishes and I'm gonna put on Old Beauty and the Beast. I'll listen to it. It's
In
fine.
the stage, is this one in the play
I
as well?
believe so. I
So
can
maybe this is like a break vocally because it's not as strenuous. It's kind of like, oh, we're gonna put it in. It's like a little, break time.
Yeah, it's there.
You need something to play over a montage.
Actually, surprisingly, Be Our Guest is not the Act One finale song in the stage version. It's If I Can't Love Her, the Beast sings it. Oh, it is a new it's a new song written by Tim Rice and Alan Menken, and it's in the live action, so you slept through it.
Yeah, I didn't get to hear that one.
But then the wolf chase is the opening of Act Two, and then it's Something There. Then there's a song Human Again, which I believe was cut from the original movie, from this movie. Yes, it was cut for the movie where it's all of the servants fantasizing about what they're going to do when they're human again, obviously.
Oh.
Yeah, but Something There, I was paying attention finally to it. And what's fascinating is that Belle's motif it is so in the song Belle, you know, when she's on the well And she's singing about, isn't this Prince Charming? But she doesn't know it's him till chapter three or whatever, foreshadowing what's going to happen to her, basically. That melody is reprised in Something There with different lyrics.
Oh, okay.
Is when she's like, true, he isn't Prince Charming. And it's when he has the birds on him and everything. So I was like, kudos to you guys for doing your job and doing it well. Like, there's a weird thing I've noticed where when people talk about movies geared towards children, they don't give it respect or
Yeah,
something.
I mean, kids aren't, well, kids at a certain generation weren't dumb. I can't speak for kids today. They don't have attention spans. But us, like, also, we were watching more adult content at younger ages. So I think we were getting more. Like, I was watching Dirty Dancing. Did I understand Penny's predicament?
No.
No. But I understood the love between, like, the love story and everything. So I got that. So I think we were just smarter viewers as well. So I don't think I hate when people dumb down kids' entertainment. It is smart and it's teaching them comedy and, like, basic, like, storytelling skills. Maybe not the most logical all the time, but still smart. And the jokes that they put in for the, like, parents watching are always hilarious when you grow up and can catch them.
But honestly, I think this one is for anybody. There isn't that this joke is for you adults, but it's done in a funny way so kids will also laugh. This is like straight up, everybody can enjoy this because the adults will pick up on more things, obviously. But it's still just epic and grand, and yes, it's only an hour and a half, but who cares? It's great.
I mean, my mom loved this. She means she's the one that took me. She loves Beast. She loved this movie. She didn't mind going to Disney movies up to a certain point. And then they got to be like, maybe because we were older too. She's like, why am I going to take a 16-year-old to see a movie? Like, they can go themselves. But yeah, my mom loved this one too. So.
Actually, I'm gonna amend what I said earlier. There is one joke that is probably for the adults, and that is right before Beauty and the Beast, the titular song, where Beast is getting done up and he looks in the mirror and he says that he looks stupid. However, if you pay attention, that is what the Cowardly Lion looks like in The Wizard of Oz after his makeover. And there's a moment too earlier where Belle was talking to somebody, and I was like, she sounds like Judy Garland, like in The Wizard of Oz. So I'm hoping that's true, that they pulled some inspiration from that. 'Cause if not, then great job, everyone. You made a reference unknowingly.
We have to ask them.
But yeah, what else? Oh, there was something. Okay. I had a whole thesis on this as well that I wrote down, quoting myself. I know the joke is that Belle has Stockholm syndrome, but she was at the castle for literally a few hours. She started to see his humanity when he saved her from the wolves. Because in this version of the story, it's rapid, it's very fast. It takes place, what, in the course of a week, maybe?
Yeah,
Because something
like
there is
48
a
hours.
montage. Well, something there is a montage of a couple of days, but like, I know people joke about this one because she's the prisoner of him. She could go anytime. Like, literally, she left at one point. He did say go, but there was nothing stopping her from leaving.
And she had free range of half a castle, and she could go outside. And it was like, okay, I'm not seeing the prisonership of this.
Plus, that
I'm
castle's
seeing this.
huge.
This is a vacation.
It was interesting to be like, are you making commentary on like the wealth or like the preppy culture or something, or capitalist or something? Because there's that moment when she's walking through the castle and you see there's like five floors. And you're like, what the fuck? This is massive. One person lives here? No, come on.
Well, he had like a million servants, so
For
there.
one
Yeah.
person?
How it goes.
But like, I mean, you've heard that before, right? That the she has
Yeah.
the Stockholm syndrome.
All the princesses have something,
But
as what BuzzFeed says.
it's honestly because he saves her and then she's and then he is cut up from the wolves, like that's when she starts to like him as a person.
I mean, he likes her too because she's like really brave. Because if you've seen this like thing come out of the shadows and she's just like, yeah, what of it? Like, let my dad go. I'll stay here. It's like, couldn't be me. I'd be like, I love you, dad, but you've had your life, you know? You're how old? So she's brave too, though.
But also she's upset because he didn't let her say goodbye, not the fact that she's stuck there.
So and be like, okay, well, like, yeah, but the Stockholm syndrome, you're right, it wasn't that long. It's not like he kept her for years and years and years and she aged. She was still a child when,
Right, yeah.
it all went down.
And like again, the logic side comes in where I'm like, how long have they been under this spell? And when does that flower start losing its petals?
I know.
Because
Every 10 years, it loses one, but then it just rapidly in the movie was like, come on, counting down.
you're close. We can feel the emotions, so we're gonna push you.
Is the witch's spirit like there still? Is she overwatching? Like, what is happening?
Again,
Logic.
the well, no, the live action one does answer the these questions. It's just not good.
I was asleep through that, I guess. But yeah, I think it's just a beautiful love story. I think it teaches us to accept what's on the inside. It's a good message, you know. After all the,
Like,
you
and
know.
there's a lot of fun, there's a lot of fun animated characters, you know, like they were like, okay, we have a clock, but how can we make it look like a human? Well, there's the clock face, so we'll use that, and then when they translate them to, you know, real life, you're like, oh, okay, I see what you use as inspiration.
That's also very creative.
Although Chip, there is a sketch from I think SNL or Mad TV that talks about this, but when Chip gets older, let you're or when Chip
Oh.
becomes human again and you're like, wait, but Chip, I get it, that's his name and that's the joke that he has a chip in the glass as well, but like what's going on when he's a kid, when he's a person? Does he not have part of his head? What's going
Thought, yes, it was a different time for medical advances, so he might have just had like a little thing
on?
missing, or I mean, a little piece of his ear got
Oh
taken
my
off.
goodness. But this movie is just it's such a good movie. Like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, a lot of us remember the Chocolate Factory portion. We forget that there's a whole like half of a movie before we get there. This one, though, as I was watching it, I was like, oh no, I remember everything. Like, and I've seen both of those films numerous times in my life. So watching this, I'm like, yeah, there's nothing I forgot about. And it moves at a clip, you know, she sings about how she hates her town and they hate her. Her dad gets lost and goes, and then she's stuck there, and then blah blah blah. And you're like, okay, the beats are the same. There's
It's very easy to follow. I recently watched Hercules a couple weeks ago, and I was like, this is very fast. Like, we don't waste any time, which I think is
no.
missing in today's movies all around, animated and live action. We're putting like too much into it. Like, we could follow an easy story and still be as impressed. I mean, look at this, over 30 years later, and we're still loving it. But how many of us are gonna love like Wish or something. These movies.
And the what's also great about this movie is that it is the first animated film to be nominated for a Best Picture Academy Award. It won the Golden Globe for Best Motion Picture Musical or Comedy, which I believe was also it being the first motion picture to do that. It also won the Academy Award for Best Original Song for Beauty and the Beast. It was nominated for Be Our Guest and Belle as well. And Alan Menken won Best Original Score. So this is like this, it's not just us that are saying this movie's amazing. Like, if you go on its Wikipedia page, you just see all the awards it was nominated for and won. You're like, holy shit.
And this is when Disney would release those like radio versions of their songs too. Like Celine Dion was on the like, and Peebo Bryce was it? That was on like the radio version of Beauty and the Beast. Oh, so
Oh,
bad. And you're
yeah,
like,
and they
yes.
the end credits was this, yeah, is the one that you're talking about,
The
the Celine
Celine. And
Dion
you're like,
and Peebo
Peebo?
Bryson,
Peebo?
Peebo,
Peebo? So
where
good.
I think this is also, is this also, no, I think Little Mermaid was probably the first one that they did something like that, where they took a popular singer and we're like, you're gonna sing the song as the ending credits. I don't think this was the first one, but maybe this is the
Probably
most
Little
popular
Mermaid.
one.
This one, I think Aladdin did it, but yeah, it's also good. I mean, Christina did it too later years, but oh, yeah, but Beauty and the Beast, that's the crowning glory, of course, of all the songs for the
And then
movie.
later, Jordan Sparks covered the song Beauty and the Beast. I'm seeing.
Did she now?
In the 2010 bonus track.
Oh, I was gonna, was that one all I was gonna say? I remember when the Disney Channel did like, I think, what is it? Sharpay Evans, what's her, Ashley Tisdale did Kiss the Girl, I believe. It's like that whole, that generation,
Oh,
Disney.
boy. But this one also got like Fox and NBC were doing the lives in like the
Oh.
2010s up until present, which I think they've stopped it. But Disney did their own version where they had it was part movie, part performance. And this one had her, HER, and Josh Groban as Belle and Beast. I didn't watch it, but I've heard that the costume for the Beast, it was like a weird shell. It was a shell of a costume, but you could still see
Oh, no.
yeah, you could still see the human in there.
That sounds, when they do it live, it's like you have the money, you have the budget. That was my biggest thing with the Belle in that live action, the dress, like the Beauty and the Beast dress, the big ball gown, and it was like Shein, Temu, like what are we doing? Like cosplay, I say this all the time, cosplayers have done that so well with like a cosplay budget, but Disney was like, no,
We're
we're
gonna
just gonna
do
go to.
a weird styling choice, and you're like,
Yeah.
why? You
Yeah, it's like
got it.
this is like that ball gown, him in that blue. It's just like that's the moment, and you're gonna just throw it all away. Like, no.
Well, what was what? Oh, and in the Beauty and the Beast, a 30th celebration, which is the live one that I was talking about. Shania Twain played Mrs. Potts.
Yeah. You know.
Let's go, girls.
Let's go, Chip. Burr, Beauty.
And I was reading about the stage version. Anne Holt Ward, who designed the costumes and won the Tony for it, took inspiration from the film as well as like of the period. And like mashed it together to create the look. So like you do get that blue dress with the apron that Belle wears majority of the film, but like little more textury, different, like that's the weird thing when you when you're doing these live action movies. You're like, okay, well, you color them in these solid colors because to do like a plaid is a lot of time, and you have to make sure it is truly special for that. But when you're in person, like nothing is really solid. You have
Yeah,
to like
it's
have
like
fun with
drab.
it. So
You're saying Wizard of Oz. I mean, her blue and white is very Dorothy coded too. I wonder if that's
there's that, but also I thought it was her and the Bim Bets were kind of like Heathers.
the colors.
The colors, but I think
Veronica.
you're right because the blue is very much of the checkered dress, not like a like a darker blue like in Heather's. So, but I
I
don't
do like
know
it being Heather's, though. I do like
that
that.
the Bim Bets are the Heather's and Belle is the Veronica.
She needs somebody to do a fan art of her with the cigarette at the
Oh.
end.
Yes. Maybe I'll do it. I don't know. We'll
And
figure it
Beast
out.
is JD.
That has to exist somewhere. It has to.
Well, yeah, where are you, like, little fan art people to draw these, like, Disney's and 80s teen movie mashups? Oh, so cute. Like, Aurora is pretty in pink.
With that ugly pink dress as her dress.
Ugliest, like, iconic, but girl, why were you going in that?
She made it herself, that's why.
We could tell.
But is there anything else you want to talk about before we get into Sharp and Flat?
No, just that Beauty and the Beast. That's the best scene. That's my favorite Disney scene. I mean, you can't beat that. I think it's just magical.
The song that you mean.
Yeah, the song and then just that whole ballroom. But then I was watching and like it's so epic. And then it just like ends with them walking out onto like the balcony or something to talk or whatever. And then like Beast being like an awkward teenager, like, oh. Okay. I was like, what a weird transition, but good nonetheless.
I mean, it first ends with Mrs. Potts being like, "All right, Chip, let's go to bed."
Off to bed now. And he's like being
But
all weird at the door.
I wanna know. All right, let's get into Sharp and Flat, shall we?
Sharp Flat.
So in this section, we're going to highlight some moments, whether or not we talked about it. If we liked it, it's sharp. If we didn't like it or thought it could change, it's flat. I did find flats. It was hard, but I did find flats. And I would like to start with them. My first flat is for the movie cutting out how the town was affected by the curse. Just certain sort of justification, because there's this giant castle there that nobody seems to know about or talk about. Be like, yeah, you know that giant castle that's abandoned? It's not really abandoned. A beast lives there. Ha-ha.
And there's like talking clocks.
There's a talking clock. And then my last flat is for my logical brain. I asked so many questions to myself that I was like, I'm not asking this in the episode, but because we will spend hours trying to decide what's happening with these adult questions. Just shut up and enjoy it. Look, dancing silverware. Ooh.
Fork has moves.
Do you have any flats?
Flat has to just lie in the, like you said, the logic of it all. I just right off the bat, being mad that a child wouldn't let you, regardless of what you look like, I'm not letting anyone I don't know into my home. Don't be mad at me for it. You're the weirdo who wants to come into my house. Like, what? So just
True.
the logic of it all. But other than that, I see no flats with it. I see Bella's being justified in everything she does, from feeling like a weirdo to wanting to escape a horrible small town. Totally get. And yeah, trading herself for her dad. Not couldn't be me, but I like it for her as the hero of the film.
And even like Gaston, like they characterized him that way, so you hate him. And so you can't really flat him for being a misogynistic, toxic man because we're supposed to hate him. And he gets his comeuppance, I think. I don't know. He just falls into the void. Who knows
Well,
what happens?
they say like when he falls, you can see skeletons in his eyes, like skulls, and that's supposed to signify that he does die. Because I think Frollo and Hunchback has the same thing when he falls into the fire, according to my BuzzFeed, research, journalism research. So those are the like I think the two that you've seen perish is that, and don't think Scar made it, but.
No, but we saw the shadow play of this of Scar being attacked. So, all right, sharps. My first sharp is to the attention to detail that they have, 'cause and I wrote this in the beginning when we first meet Belle and she's walking and she's swaying and like some of the hair falls. I was like, who the fuck would have thought of that, first of all? I don't remember seeing that prior. Because the other Disney, the older Disney films were very static. Yes, they played with shadow and fabric and everything, but like their hair was perfectly coiffed. So like watching this and just seeing it, I was like, that's amazing. There's other things too, but that was the one that blew my mind. I also I sharped Gaston pointing his toes in Gaston. So when he sings the line, I use antlers in all of my decorating, and he's on the chair and his leg is up, but his toe is pointed. I was like, fuck yes, get it, queen. I also sharped the camera work in Beauty and the Beast, self-explanatory. My other sharp is for the wardrobe attacking the townspeople in the, because the minute she jumps from the from that second floor down onward, I'm loving it. And Joanne Worley voiced the wardrobe, and if you don't know who she is, you should look into it and you would love her, because that is her voice. She didn't really put on a voice for this. I don't think anyone really, the only one that I think put on a voice was Lumiere, probably. I mean, they probably all affected their voice in some way, shape, or form. Oh, Jerry Orbach is the voice of Lumiere. Huh.
When I found, I was like, "Dirty
Law and Order in your later
Dancing."
years, hopefully. And then I want to sharp the following performances. I know it's an animated film, but fuck it. I'm sharping Belle and Be Our Guest and Beauty and the Beast. The titular song. Like, yes, it's just a little static of them dancing, but it is in the pantheon of like pop culture, you know, the highest of highest level of classic, iconic, whatever word, whatever ick we're using to describe it. It's amazing. I could have sharped the whole movie, but I was like, let's be a little more specific. Do you, what are your sharps besides the whole movie?
As a whole, the movie, I like you said, it just like put animation on a new level. That it to be
Yeah.
respected as an art form and not just something children can take in, like our parents. Obviously, it spawned Disney adults. This is kind of like the foundation. The Renaissance is the foundation for us being weirdos as adults and collecting. Like, I just went through all my pins, like my little enamels. I have so many Chippendale ones because they are my favorite, like Disney character. Everyone just gives them to me. I have so many I didn't even know I had. But anyway, the Beauty and the Beast scene. Obviously, I love the wardrobe of this film. I think it's kind of like Pretty Woman, like the evolution. Like she starts out in the very simpleton thing and kind of grows to that like gown moment, is kind of like her red dress, like going to the opera. So I like the storytelling of that. I like that she was just like, I mean, Belle, or Ariel was kind of rebellious in knowing what she wants, but Belle was just like her own self. And we didn't get that in a lot of the Disney princesses before Little Mermaid. So Belle and Ariel really like helped that. Like, this character, this princess has a personality. She's not just someone to save. She can save herself if need be. So I'm gonna sharp that. And just all the little, I love my favorite characters of Disney have always been little sidekicks. So I love all the little like Chip and like Mrs. Potts and everything. I always love those little side characters. I think they're always so fun and creative. So, and they add so much to the story. So I'm gonna sharp all those little guys.
Another detail I thought of that is part of my sharp that I want to give another example of them paying attention to detail. When we first meet the wardrobe and she's like, let's do a makeover, haha. And she opens up and you see those dresses in there. First of all, my question is whose dresses are those? But anyway, Belle wears all those dresses throughout the movie. And I was like, that's smart that like you're showing us what she's going to wear, but in a way that it's like, haha, look at these dresses. And we're doing a funny, like, she hasn't been of use in a while kind of a joke. But no, like, Belle wears them and they magically fit. Would you have any of
She's a
the.
sample size.
All the Disney princesses are sample sizes, let's be real here. Would you add any of the songs to your life's playlist? I mean, I copped out and just wrote all of them.
I would probably, of course, Beauty and the Beast is great, but probably because it is very pop punk coded, I'm gonna go with Belle, like that intro, just being the little weirdo that wants more out of life. It's that one.
Because, I mean, like I said, even something there, the one that I would probably skip, I don't hate it. It's just like low the bottom of the
Yeah.
list
You're like,
for
oh
me.
yeah, that
But
song's
it's still
cool.
cute. You know, she's cute. And the mob song is still fun, even though it's like a little pattery song. Da, 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 you know, like that's fun.
But yeah, I'd say Belle, or I mean, Beauty and the Beast, I would add to like my movie scenes, but as a song, just
Got it. But on that note, Kendra, we did it somehow.
did
In under
it.
an hour, we talked about Beauty and the Beast. Woohoo! What do you have to plug or promote?
Crushgasm, my podcast. Everything's at crushgasmpodcast.com. And if you go there, all the like social media is there. You can go to kendrawrightstuff.com too to see all the articles that I post. And if you like Disney and like 90s pop culture and everything, pretty much that's all I write about. It's my bread and butter. Like I wrote about celebrities that are kind of emotional support people for millennials. Like JTT, Sarah Michelle Gellar, like we're so attached to these
Yeah.
people. And if you like food shows, me and my husband watch them, like food competition shows, like they are sports, and we are food show fanatics, and we are reviewing Spring Baking Championship right now.
I haven't listened to your 90s episodes yet, but when you did 1991, was the majority of the episode talking about Beauty and the Beast?
I did bring the my guest Demanda Martini. That was their crush was B, so I believe I did have them come back on for 91 to talk about, because I was like I tried to batch people to wear either what they wanted or if that their crush kind of coincided. So yeah, like I had a crush on Larissa Oladik from Alex Mack, so I made sure to bring him on for that one.
You should all listen to that 1999 episode. Like, I don't know who
Best
that
year.
guest was, but it was the
That
best year ever.
one, 99 has so much pop culture because they really just threw so much in at the end of a decade. Oh my God. I
That
really want to go through the 2000s next. We'll see.
I'm ready. I am so ready whenever you need me.
Oh, that one's going to be harder because that one's just like the Disney movies weren't Disneying enough. You know,
But like music was more,
music and
was it?
TV, I felt. My
Yeah.
movies were kind of just getting into that. Let's just make everything a sequel. TV was just like, music was, I mean, the hip hop of the
Yeah.
2000s.
The pop of the 2000s. And if it's been rumored that the stage version of Beauty and the Beast is coming back to Broadway. If you know anything about that, if it's actually happening and when it's happening, I'd love to hear about it. And maybe we can get Kendra to come up and see it. If that's happening, you can email me at buttersongpod@gmail.com. Also on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at buttersongpod. And you know Kendra's socials. If you know of any productions happening like a tour or something, let us know. Like,
Coming to the Columbus, Ohio area.
yeah. Or a regional production happening in the Columbus, Ohio ish area. I mean, it's worth the drive. If it's a little bit of a drive, it's worth it, 'cause you get
Everything's
to be
like
our
2 hours
guest and you
from here.
see it. You see Be Our Guest. Yes, that's people in a fork costume, but it's still grand. And if you want to be part of next episode's conversation, well, we're going from a classic Disney movie to classic Hollywood with the pajama game. I wish I thought of that before. I just made that up on the spot. I'm not sure. Not sure if that's actually going to work or how to describe it. But Kendra, thank you so much for coming back on and
Thank
talking
you.
about the one and only Disney version of the Beauty and the Beast. There is no live action, huh? And everyone, thank you for listening and bye for now.
Special thanks to Aaron Troy for creating the pod's artwork and to Nick Bombacino for composing the theme song and the jingles. A huge thank you to CastBox for hosting this podcast. And thank you again for tuning in to today's episode of Life's But a Song. Bye for now, everyone, and have a musical day.